Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
But think of the new covenant of what God has done. God was, he helped the people, and I believe that we have many brothers and sisters from the Old Testament that God has brought through. But the covenant that we're under right now is totally different, because now it's not just going through a priest. We all know him. Everyone who surrenders their heart, everyone in whom he comes to live, has a personal relationship with him and knows God personally. We have the privilege of standing before him with his own righteousness attributed to us. But it isn't just, you know, David talked about the Lord being with him. And that's an awesome thing. But we have something greater than that. You remember how the Lord spoke about the Spirit? He said he dwells with you, but what? Shall be in you. See, that's the thing. I was thinking about this and realizing the reality that the Jesus we talk about, he's so much more than just an example. Now, I mean, we can read the scriptures and we can see the character and how he treated people and the amazing love that he showed and say, oh, what a wonderful example. Or we could look up in our imagination and picture him on a throne somewhere, shouting down encouragement and instruction, saying, do what I say, do what I tell you, and I'll just send the strength. You know where he's at? We put him way off somewhere. And we talk about, you know, spending time with the Lord. Sometimes we think of that as, okay, I'm going to go spend time with the Lord, and then I'm going to do the other stuff. Do you think that's what the Lord wants? Or are we meant to just walk with him through every day with a greater consciousness? You know, I wish there was a way we could push a button and make this all happen, but this is a matter of the Lord reminding us and beginning to learn and beginning to reach out and say, Lord, I need you today. I need the truth, I need the faith, I need all of that, but you're right here with me in this. You're holding my hand, walking me through. I need the heart that says, like David, search me, tell me all about myself. I'm so glad he can do that without condemnation, with help. But I also need him to teach me your ways. Do you realize we don't have to call way out there? We can say, Jesus, you're right here with me. Show me how to handle this. Show me how to be the person that you have called me to be. Wow, do you think he'd answer something like that? I mean, here he is. He's innocent with us. How much attention do we give him? Do we really pay any attention to him? I wonder how sad he must be to think, oh, these people that I did all of this for, and I have given everything. And I'm not trying to convey a sense of guilt or, you know what I'm saying. But yet there's a hunger, there's a longing. Can you believe when you look in the mirror and you know and he begin to see what's lacking in you? That Jesus who was used to create everything and went to the cross and did all of that, he wants to spend time with somebody like me? Do you really believe that? That's what the scripture is conveying. If Paul, the chiefest of sinners, could so understand the love and the mercy of God that he said, I want to know him. I want to enter the fellowship of his suffering, so I understand when stuff happens, it's him working in me, and I'm going to join him because I understand that to get to where I'm going, to become what I am meant to be, requires a whole lot of dying, a whole lot of saying no, a whole lot of experiencing stuff and believing God anyway. It's the way it happens. And you think of the ministry that God gave to him and all that he was able to do. And yet, did he not, in 2 Corinthians 4, with the scripture we've also used many times, talk about all the things that he went through? So such and such happened, and oh, it was terrible, but God brought us through, but God, you know, we were beyond strength, we were this, we were that or the other, but God brought us through. But what was his conclusion about that? What was the reason that happened? That's in 2 Corinthians 12, that's exactly right. But in this one, it's death is at work in me. So you see the fellowship of his sufferings? And of course it goes on to talk about death. Death is at work at me. Do you realize there's death that has to work in you for you to become what God wants you to be? Death is at work in me. But what's the result of that? Is that an end in itself? Death is at work in me, but life is at work in you. Just like Jesus was willing to do everything he did because of what it was going to do for you and me, Paul realized, I want to be like him. I want to know him, and he's got a purpose for my life. In order for me to fulfill my purpose, I too have to die. But the result of that is that my vessel is going to be used for life. Now, yes, I'm not there yet. I mean, I haven't got all of this, but I'm on the way. I understand the process, but I understand it's more than taking scriptural formulas. I want to know this Jesus. He who was there is here. Well, now think about this. We're his body, right? If your foot is hurting, is that just something apart from you, or is that you? You may be the little toe in the kingdom of God, or you may think you are. But if you're sore, the head is right there, considering you part of him and helping you right through that. Is that the truth? Oh, we need to see ourselves as he sees us. The devil will tell us everything else except that we are the objects of his mercy and his love, and he has given us everything we need. But Paul understood, I was born with a life that's corrupt. The only answer is to kill it. But the way God's going to do it is that I'm going to participate in the death. I'm going to start agreeing with God when he engineers circumstances that cause me to die to that, to say no to it, to let it go. But in the process, something else is going to happen. There's going to be life that will get stronger because I've got a life that he wants me to live out. What good is it if he puts it in there and it never comes out? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You just back up a chapter and that's in there. Praise God. There's such a simplicity in this. And I just pray that God will somehow make this real to me, that every day when I get up, I want to spend time with him, I want to talk to him. That's important. Absolutely. Listen to his voice. But how many of us acknowledge him all the time? Learn to be conscious of that. Trust in the Lord most of the time. No, with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In most of your ways, in all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge the book. It says acknowledge him. Oh, God wants us to be personal and real. Now, not private and separate in the wrong sense, but God wants us to absolutely know him, to where we're in a situation and we can say, Lord, you've allowed this, and I know you're right here with me. What are you trying to show me? How am I supposed to handle this? What's your will in this? And God, I tell you, God will lead us and teach us in ways that we have not imagined before now. Boy, do I need this. And Paul understood enough to talk about the ministry is, I get it. I know what's happening. I know why I'm having to go through such hard things. God's got a job on his hands to change a guy like me and to make me fit to express new heaven's life in me. But praise God, I get it. I understand it. He's putting that today. He's putting me in a situation where I've got to say, yes, Lord, I surrender. Your will, not mine. And something is dying and it's losing its hold. I'm saying no. I'm treating it as something that is gone and dead. And I'm focused on one thing, because all this is going to go away anyway. There's no purpose to live for down here. No value. I don't care how many people you pack in your church. People are looking at outward things and valuing things by that. But God help me and every one of us to embrace whatever God brings our way, because we know it's taking us to a perfect place in him. It's bringing forth newness of life. And yes, this is the foundation of everything he did, but you see where it goes back to. It's not just, oh, I want to be the greatest missionary that's ever lived. I'm writing books of the Bible. I'm teaching, I'm this, I'm that. It wasn't about him at all. He understood. He has called me, and I'm going to have to get to my goal the same way my Savior did, by letting it all go, whatever the process is involved, however painful it may be, whatever it takes to say, no, I don't want that, I renounce it, I'm going to do it. And I'm not even going to complain. Does God have a job to do on you? Yeah, he's got one to do on me. And here is Paul, well into his ministry, been mightily used of God, suffered amazing things in his experience, writing to these believers, powerful servant of God. And yet his sense was, this is what matters, this is what defines my life, this is what I want, and I haven't arrived. I understand, too, that I'm on a journey here. This was mentioned several times this morning, the balance between realizing that I haven't arrived and yet God can actually use me right here where I'm at if I'll just agree with him. All of this is about agreeing with God, recognizing what it is that he's doing and agreeing with it and cooperating with it in an actual sense, but not just as a religious formula, as a person to walk with who's real. Do you believe that Jesus is here as well as on a throne? God has given him that power through the Spirit to be here, to be everywhere he needs to be in person. We can talk to him. We can listen to him. We can be taught by him. We can say, well, didn't he say, take my yoke and learn from me? For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that rest is not dependent on circumstance. It's awful easy to equate, being in need and going to God as God fix it.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.